Good morning. I wish that Don and I could be there with you today. It's our heart's desire always to be with our church family. You're such a blessing to us. I want you to know that we're praying for you. And even though we can't be there, our heart is with you. And we will be listening online and be praying with you and worshiping with you and believing God with you and for you during the altar service. Even though we're not there in flesh, so to speak, we're there in spirit. And also, I believe that we have a word for you from the living God, because he has laid this on my heart. And he has been doing an amazing work in our lives. He's been dealing with us intimately. He's been fellowshipping with us, and he's been searching our heart, and he's been bringing stuff to our revelation and unction in our heart that would help us to be blessed by him, help us to grow closer together to him. And thus, the closer we get to him, the closer we're going to get together with each other to be able to do what the Lord God Almighty has called us to do. So let's open up with prayer this morning while you're turning to the great book of Psalms. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to minister your word. I thank you for the opportunity to be with people of like faith. And we ask right now, Lord, that you just touch every person. Anything that has become a weight or a care in their life, bring revelation, bring unction, bring truth about that. And let today be the day that they cast all their cares upon you. Let the day of the Lord be so real and genuine to them that freedom comes like never before. I'll open my mouth wide. You fill it. Lord, help us only say what you'd have us to say. Help us only to do what you'd have us to do. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, believing we receive. Amen and amen. So what's on my heart this morning, I believe that the Spirit of the living God has laid this out for us, is some very truths with this season that we just come through, coming through the season of Thanksgiving. It seems like the enemy has done so much to try to discourage us, so much to try to take the blessing of this time of year away from us. And so in my morning worship time, as I was praying and meditating upon the Lord, I was meditating and thinking about his goodness, you know, the goodness of God. And as I was worshiping the Lord and thinking about his goodness, there were all sorts of symptoms and circumstances that were screaming back at me. You know, my wife's ill, both my daughters, they're in the midst of trials, not to mention you, my church family. There's several of you that are under major attack in many different ways. And I know that many of you are hurting right now, and there are thoughts that the enemy's trying to place in your mind that's going over and over in your mind. It's trying to cover up God's goodness with the bad things of the enemy, the bad things of this world. And so as we look around and we see so much division, there's division in our families. I know that many of you here under the sound of my voice, you're dealing with that very same thing. And I want you to know the Spirit of God is mindful of that, and he loves you, and he has a plan for your life. He has something that would bring encouragement and strength to you today. And I want you not to be beat down. I want you to be built up. But just let me lay just a little foundation, and we're going to read our text. But there's so much division. There's so much division in our families and our nation. And so there's a question that is arising. How can we be thankful with all of this hurt, with all this turmoil, and all of this pain that is being presented to us by the enemy in this fallen world? But you and I, we need to re-examine what we're feeling, and we need to be in the place and the position where we let the Word of God have the first and the final say in our life. You may be suffering this morning. You may be suffering in great turmoil and pain, and it's not your fault. Or even you may be in a place and a position of heartache and pain, and it's your own making. It doesn't matter. Your God is a good God. Your Father loves you, and he has a word for you. So with that being said, let's turn to the book of Psalms, as I stated in the opening. Psalms chapter 100. Let's read the first five verses. Psalms 100, the five verses of this chapter. Look what he says in verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Verse number 5, highlight this in your mind's eye. Write it on the table of your heart. Highlight it in your Bible, on your Bible app. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? In the name of Jesus, once again, Father, let this word come alive to us, because it's alive. It is the living word. But let it come alive to us right now by the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, in these verses of Scripture, this time of year, just coming through this Thanksgiving season, we need to remind ourselves that the good is not gone. See, the devil wants you and I to think that bad is ultimately going to win, that bad is going to take over and control our lives. And as I stated in the opening, when I was worshiping the Lord, you know, that very phrase that come over my heart, what happens when the good is gone? What happens when the good is gone? See, the devil wants to convince us of that. But right here in verse number 5 in this Psalms chapter 100, the word of God said, for the Lord is good. That's present tense. That's active. See, our God, he's an active God, and he is a good God. And so what you and I have to do, we've got to be in the place and the position where we feed upon the word of God. We feed this truth into our lives and let this word become more real to us than every symptom, than every source that we're dealing with. And so hold your place right here. We're going to come back in just a moment of time. But you and I, we need to take some medicine. See, the Word of God is medicine. It's medicine unto you. It's medicine unto me. So if the Word of God is medicine, then the very words of the devil, the words that come to the flesh and this old man, this carnal man, instead of being medicine and health to us, it can be sickness and death to us. So we need to make sure that we hold on to the Word of God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. And let's read verses 20 through 23 in the Amplified Classic. Now, you can read it in the King James, but in the Amplified Classic, I want to just see a few things this morning. Proverbs 4 and 20. The Word of God says, my son, or God is saying to you and I, my children, attend to my words. You and I, we've got to make sure that we're holding on to the Word of God. See, the devil's going to do anything and everything he can to try to steal, kill, and destroy the words of Jesus out of your life, out of my life. Because Jesus came that we might not only have life, but we might have it more abundantly. He said his words, that they were spirit and they were life. So we've got to attend to those. We've got to give our attention, in other words, to the Word of God, rather than what we're feeling, rather than what we're seeing. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Verse 21. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. Why? Verse 22. This is the main reason why we came here. For they, the words of God, they are life to those that find them, healing and health. They're a cure from the Hebrew. They are medicine. Healing and health to all their flesh. And notice this. The words of the living God. Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And when we find the Word of God, when we find Jesus, they are life. Life to us, they are medicine, they are healing and health to us, to all of our flesh. And you and I, while we're in this earth age, while we're walking in this flesh body, we need the Word of God to be able to pour through our very spirit, renewing our soul, our mind, bringing our will and our emotions in line with the Word of God, where our bodies can be subjected, where they can be conformed, where they can be healed by that same Word of God. And so the good is not gone. This morning you're dealing with things. Maybe you've got pain in your body. Maybe you've got a ache in your heart. I know that some of you do. You have a concern for your family. You're overwhelmed about situations where the storms of this life are coming against you, and the devil wants to hurt and hinder you. Well, I want you to know that the living God is mindful of you. He has been moving on brothers and sisters, on your pastors to pray for you. We're thinking about you. Our heart is with you. And so we've got to take the medicine. We've got to take the Word of God, and we've got to feed on that and let that be greater, stronger than anything else in our life. Verse 23, he said, keep and guard your heart with all diligence, and above all that, you guard. In other words, guard your heart more than anything else. Your heart is more important than anything else. Why? For out of it, out of your heart, flows the springs of life. Now, what this is saying from the Hebrew, that guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it is the boundaries of life. Now, think about it. You and I, we're here in the United States of America, and while we're within the boundaries, the borders, we are under the authority of the United States of America, the law, the Constitution, and we have certain rights. We have certain things that protect us, and so thank God, with his hand upon us, his angels round about us, Russia, the Chinese, whoever, what they would like to do to America, they can't do at this point of time because of God's grace and because of our boundaries. And so when we stay within those boundaries, we're under the laws of our land and we have protection. Well, you and I, the Bible tells us that we're citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. We have a citizenship, and it is in heaven. So glory be to God. Think about that, that the very boundaries is not set by what you're dealing with, by the limitations of what you're feeling, what you're seeing. Our boundaries is thus saith the Lord. So we need to take this medicine. We need to feed on it every day. When we're dealing with sickness in our body, when we're dealing with heartache in our heart, when we're dealing with fear that's trying to control our mind, what do we do? We take that medicine of the world and we cast it down. We reject it. We renounce it. We repent if we've believed it. And then we feed on the Word of God. You know, if you're dealing with a sickness in your body or your mind, you know, you say, I thank you, Lord God, that you have, Psalms 107:20, you have sent your word and healed me. You have delivered me from all of my destructions. I take that word. The good is not gone. The bad is not going to swallow me up. This situation, this trial is not going to control me. I'm going to take the Word of God. I have a covenant with my Father. It's not about me. It's about him. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who healeth me. He's going to bless my bread and water and take sickness out of the midst of me. That's the God that I serve. And it's not about me. It's about him. And I know that he's faithful. And so I'm going to trust him. I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to believe him. So the good is not gone. You can have thanksgiving in your life. You can have victory in your life. You can have peace in your life, because the Word of God has the final say when you hold it up and you flash it before the devil's eyes and you let him know that you know what's yours, that you know what your covenant rights are. Now let's go back to Psalms 100 and notice some promises that he made to us. He told us there in Psalms 100, verse number 3, he said, make a joyful noise in verse number 1. Why can you make a joyful noise? Because you know that the Lord, he is God. Now think about that just for a moment. Your God, your Father, the Lord, he is God, not man. Not the devil, not the things in this world, but know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. And we haven't made ourselves, but we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now let's let that sink in just for a moment. The good is not gone, because the Lord is good. And he has made a promise to you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your God. He wants you to work, live under the identity that He made you. Come on, you're a product. You are the workmanship, Ephesians chapter 2, of the Lord God Almighty. You're His masterpiece. He's made you. And notice He said that we are His people. In other words, let's take it to the internet age of right now. The Lord God Almighty is saying that you're His peeps. You're His peeps. You're His people. And then if you're in a situation, in a circumstance where you have trouble identifying to that or holding on to that, then He reminds you and I that we're the sheep of His pasture. The sheep of His pasture. What does that mean? That means that He's our shepherd. Sheep are continually in need of a shepherd, a pastor. Sheep have to have someone to take care of them. God is saying, I will take care of you. The good is not gone. The bad is not going to swallow up the good. No, the living God is going to swallow up the bad with His goodness. You can count on that this morning. It's the truth. It's the truth. He wants you to rest in that reality that He's going to meet your needs. Now notice what He said. He said in verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now, the only reason why you and I are limited or hindered or without of some of the promises of God is because we're not doing verse 3, we're not recognizing our identity in Christ and how God identifies with us. And then we're not doing verse 4. We're not coming out of the outside of the limitations of the word of the world, of the word of the devil, and entering into God's gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. You see, there's some things of truth, some promises that God has for us that we'll never receive until we do verses 3 and 4. If we'll be thankful unto Him, if we'll thank Him when there's no evidence, if we'll bless His name when it doesn't look like there is nothing operating in our lives, but we just know that the Lord is good. We know that it's impossible. Hebrews chapter 6. Titus 1 and 2, it's impossible for our God to lie because we know that. We can say the Lord is good and we can have a thankful heart. We can have an attitude of gratitude. We can bless His name. And when we start doing those things, it's an act of faith. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him by faith. What a promise. But let's remind ourselves of some things. Now notice what He said in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. What a promise. And His truth endureth to all generations. His truth is just as real to me as it was to Abraham. Just as real to you as it was to Daniel in the lion's den. Think about that. Now, see, the devil desires to deflect you and I from God's goodness. How does he do that? He does that by bringing bad things in our lives. But once again, verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, present tense. He doesn't just do good. Your Father, my Father, our God, our Shepherd is the source of all good. Oh, glory. Now, you say, well, how is those good things available to me? How are they working in my life when the things I went through this past week, when I've dealt with sickness, when I've dealt with pain, when those who are closest to me have hurt me, when those who should understand me have no clue of what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through? All of those things are external, and all of those things are a work of the enemy to try to get you to doubt God's goodness, to try to get you to back up. But our God is a good God, and He wants to work good things in your life. And we need to just feed our faith on that reality. Now turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And I don't want to hold you for a long time. I just want to lay a foundation and be a blessing to you this morning and to be able to get you in the place of an altar service where the Holy Ghost is going to meet you in your situation and circumstance, and He's going to perform signs. He's going to confirm this word in your life, and I'm looking forward to hearing testimony about what He's going to do. But you need to familiarize yourself with this entire chapter, but let's read Genesis 1:31. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now mark that down in your mind's eye, write it on the table of your heart, highlight it in your Bible app. God looked and he saw everything that he had made. Remember, the Lord is good, and so he's the source of all good. And it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, if you take time to look, this is the seventh time in this chapter that good is named as a product of God's creation. Brother, sister, church family, you're God's creation. You're God's creation. Sure, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We make mistakes, but Jesus made an avenue for that. Remember, he told Peter, he said, while you're in this world, I need to wash your feet. Come on, we're going to trample through some things. We're going to step into some things, but we serve a God of grace, and he has a word for us, empowered by the Holy Spirit of truth, that will help us step up over those things where we can stay away from them and we can get stronger in him and by him. You are part of his creation, and he is a good God, and you're a good creation. Amen? But God creates good things. So when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ simply as your Lord and Savior, you return to God, and he becomes your Father. So when God becomes your Father, you have a reality that the God who is good is going to do good things in your life. So when the devil tells you that the good is gone, that's not true. That's not true at all. It's a lie. Turn with me to the epistle of James. James chapter 1, verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So here James is talking to the brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is an epistle, so it's written to the church. And he tells you and I, do not err. This word err is from a Greek word which means don't roam from safety, truth, and virtue. So you and I, the devil, he wants to move us away from the truth, away from the cross, away from the empty tomb. Don't let that happen. Verse 17. Every good gift, now mark this down in your mind's eye, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now what a promise. Will you receive this peace-building truth? The good is not gone. Come on, the devil wants to try to convince us of that. But right here, because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, we have this promise. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from our Father. Come on, the Father of lights. God wants to be your Father. It's the devil that is trying to get you and I to err, to roam from the truth. The devil, he wants to sow division. He done that in the very Garden of Eden. He sowed division, which brought death. But Jesus met him in the garden, and he couldn't divide Jesus from the Word, from the Father. And Jesus defeated him for you and I. And what did God do? A good God gave you and I everything that we need to succeed in this life. Oh, there's an anointing right there. I feel the Spirit of the living God moving in somebody's life right now. There is a truth that is coming up into you. You hold on to that while you're planting that word, receiving that engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, what a promise. God's for you. God's for you. He's for me. He's for his children. So the devil is coming against you. You've had a rough week. Some of you have had a rough couple of months. A lot of things have been happening. God is mindful of all of those things. Now feed on this medicine. Feed your faith on this truth. Look at verse 32. He, God, the Lord God Almighty, our Father, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now mark that down in your Bible app. Write it on the table of your heart. Highlight it in your Bible. How shall he not with him, with Jesus, also freely give us all things? Good things. We have a good Father. The Lord is good. Present tense. He's the source of all good. So those things that's happening in your life that are harmful and hurtful, you need to stand against them and say, devil, you're trespassing on God's property. You're trying to bring a storm. You're trying to move me. You're trying to cause me to doubt my God, the goodness of my Father. I know that there's some things happening. You prayed the prayer of faith and you're still sick in your body. You prayed the prayer of faith and you lost seemingly a blessing. You lost the plan and the will of God. All of those things are seemingly as what is happening. But God freely wants to give you and I all things. And God, he restores what the devil has stole. God is for you this morning. You and I, we have to humble ourselves. We have to become meek. And we have to receive this word and act upon it and see what God has for us. Now, we need to get that in our spirit. God, a good God, freely gives his children all things. Because why? First, you and I have received the gift of Jesus as Lord. Come on, you've got a promise here. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you've got a promise. I've got a promise. So the good is not gone. It's just the devil, who is the author of sin, sickness, and death. He wants you and I to come in agreement with that lie. Just as God has workers in the earth to bless you and I, to encourage you and I, the devil, he has workers that is trying to bring discouragement. And some of you have met those workers face to face. They have spoke words and they have done things that have got in your mind and trying to work into your heart and trying to cloud your vision, to try to cover up the goodness of God. But God has come to you this morning with a message that will change everything. 3 John, let's turn to 3 John chapter 1. Look at verse number 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now write that on the table of your heart. He that doeth good is of God. So if there's some actions in your life and they're not good things, then it's not of God. It's not from God. So you and I, we can't blame the Lord. We can't blame God about it. We've got to step back. We've got to see what the devil's trying to do to hurt and hinder us. We've got to rebuke that, bind that in Jesus' name. And we've got to take our medicine. We've got to feed our faith and let God do what only he can do. But it stems from our faith to act, to talk, thanksgiving. To be thankful. See, in the Word of God, the very first time that bad, in the King James they call it evil, but if you look it up from the Hebrew, it's bad. The very first time bad is mentioned in Scripture, it has to do with you and I making a choice. So the question that the Holy Ghost has for you and I this morning, will we choose the Lord or will we choose, and you fill in the blank? What you're feeling, what you've seen, what you've heard, the hurt, the heartache, the disappointment, the discouragement. What are you going to choose? What am I going to choose? Let's document what I just said. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Genesis 2, 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of garden, talking about Jesus, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Like I said, in the Hebrew it says bad. Second witness, drop down to verse 17 and then we'll elaborate just a little bit more on this. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, bad, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So the Lord God, he made all the good things, the things that was pleasant, the things that was good for food. And of course, Jesus, you've got God the Father, you've got God the Son, you've got God the Holy Ghost, all three in one. They have always been. And it takes all three in the creative force. But then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God didn't make the devil. God created a perfect entity, one that was full pattern, one that was called to lead the worship team in heaven. And all of these things, you can read about him in Ezekiel 28, an amazing metaphor there as God lays out a teaching about him. But the devil become the devil when he sought to exalt his throne above God's. And so why would we want to eat the words of a bad devil? Why would we want to believe what he's saying? Because the Lord just told us here, I create things that's pleasant, that's good. And those other words, those things, they bring death. He said, the day that you eat of it. And so right now you're going through trials and troubles and situations. The devil just keeps feeding things, trying to get you and I to partake, trying to move us from our faith, trying to get us to accept and to believe a lie. Now hold that in your heart, and I want just a few more verses of scripture to build your faith. Turn with me to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, and I want you to see what God promised. Now, when we look at the book of Deuteronomy, we're looking at a type and a shadow for you and I this morning, a type and a shadow that shows how we have to make choices. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. In other words, the Lord, if we'll let the Holy Spirit of truth, just as Jesus promised us in John 14, down about verse 26, he'll remind us of everything Jesus has said, and he'll teach us new things. And if we'll open up our mouth, he'll fill our mouth with those words that we need to speak that'll create good things in our life instead of the bad. Verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Now let's understand that. The Lord said, I have brought you an understanding. I've presented you a positive and a negative. God said, I have life for you. I have good things for you. But the devil, the flesh, the world, has death and evil. Verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Isn't that something? Your Father, he wants to bless you. Verse 17. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over the Jordan to go to possess it. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. It's a choice. The good is not gone. The good is not gone. God wants to swallow up the bad with his goodness. Choose. Let's choose life. Not just for us, but for us and for those that God is going to bring in us and through us. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. God's got blessings. He's got promises for you and I. He's a good God. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. But we've got to get in the place and the position where we're expecting. This morning, some of you, the devil's got you in the place and the position where you're expecting badness. You're expecting sickness. You're expecting disappointment. You're expecting heartache. In other words, you thinking ahead of time how you can accept the bad news, how you can work through the bad news. God is not a God of bad news. God is a God of good news. We've got to change our way of thinking. We've got to have faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. The greatest is love, but we've got to have hope in our life. We've got to have hope and faith working together. One last verse. Turn with me to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 11. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. Remember, the word is nigh you, even in your heart. What are you giving voice to? What am I giving voice to? This is a prophetic timeline here in this book of Jeremiah. It's something that we need to be looking forward to for the future. This is a hope, a confidence. There's going to be a sounding of the trumpet one of these days. There's going to be a coming of a Lord and a Savior. What are you voicing? What am I voicing? Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Come on, we need to lift our hands. We need to praise the Lord God Almighty. We may start out in pure faith. I mean, when I start out in my morning devotions, I may not feel good. I may have a bad attitude. I may have all sorts of things that I'm looking at and I'm feeling. But by faith, I lift my hands. By faith, I lift my voice. And I just be honest with the Lord. I tell him, Lord, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm telling you exactly what my flesh is feeling. I'm telling you exactly what my mind is trying to meditate upon. And then I do what the psalmist David did. I say, in the name of Jesus, soul, you be quiet. Body, you be quiet. I will praise the Lord. I lift my hands. I lift my heart to the Lord God Almighty. And all of a sudden, the presence of the Lord starts filling not just the atmosphere, but filling my heart and causing my mind, my attitude to change, causing my body to be brought under subjection to the truth of the Word of God. The Lord is good. I need to offer him a sacrifice of praise. Look at the last part of the verse. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. See, when I praise the Lord, not to take this verse out of context, but when I praise the Lord, those things that are holding me captive, come on, fear, anxiety, nervousness, hopelessness, whatever it might be, pain in my body, pain in my mind, those things are broke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all of a sudden, the greater one, greater is he, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than what I'm feeling that's out here in the world, that greater one, the Holy Ghost, showing me Jesus, the Word, is in me, is in you. Oh, glory, the good is not gone. Today, Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to set me free. He wants to change everything about our life. I want to close with this illustration, and I want us to be able to apply this and put it to work in our very lives. This is something I think that will build you up, and I encourage you to read about it on the internet and get a little more detail. For sake of time, I'm going to give you a synopsis. On November the 4th, 2010, Eunice Sanborn. She became the world's oldest living person. Miss Sanborn, she had outlived three husbands, and she credits her long life to her belief, her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She celebrated her 114th birthday on July the 20th, 2010. Where did she celebrate that birthday? At her church. The First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Texas. She had this testimony. She had these words to say. Eunice says that she not only loves everything about her life, but also she has no complaints. She said if she wanted to complain, she would have had many things to accumulate through her 114 years to complain about. But she chose to look through all of the situations, the circumstances of her life through her relationship with a good God. See, this lady, she demonstrated that complaining was a choice. that praise, that thankfulness was a choice. And she chose to thank God was a good God and that there was goodness coming her way. And she lived with an attitude of gratitude. She had thanksgiving in her life. And the good swallowed up the bad. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, to the best of my ability, I presented this message that you laid on my heart. I asked you right now that you do what I can't do. You draw people to an altar in their heart, and you draw the people together this morning. Let there be people pray for one another. Let people pray for each other in this service. As while Don and I are watching online, Lord willing that everything's working and they can turn the camera around now, put it in a position where we can see and we can pray for those who are at the altar, for those who are coming together. Father, let it be. And let every bad work, let every bad attitude, let every bad word, let everything be swallowed up right now in the goodness of our God. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And I say, bless you. Bless you. Now come to the altar and yield to the Lord right now in Jesus' mighty name.